your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is March 26th, 2021, and it's a Friday. Aw, yeah, I got a weekend coming up, and should be lots of fun. I get to, I had an interesting event. I went to get my vaccine on Tuesday. I thought my chain was slapping, and so I went out yesterday to go ahead and tighten it up, because I usually slack on my chain maintenance, and, well, I tightened up that chain, and wouldn't you know, the chain was actually pretty tight, and so I need to go loosen it today. But when I went to get up, my rear rack was loose. Someone had tried to take the bolts off of it and walk off with it, but I guess they didn't have enough power.
World news.
That's right. It's time to start the way we always start, and that's with some world news. I think I kind of like this. I've got a fixed timer so that I don't ramble on too long. If I start to, a sound effect plays and tells me, hey, get back on track, or remember to play a song. Because it's Friday and I've got meetings and all sorts of stuff running around, I am going to play a little bit longer of a song. It's 3 minutes instead of 2 minutes, so please don't come for me for that. So let's get going. Got to try and get this all knocked out before the top of the hour local time. It is 1900 UTC, by the way. So, all right. So first up, Russia is going to produce a new electric car this year, says an industry minister. Russian small private car maker Zeta is designing an electric car and plans to launch production this year. Russia's industry and trade minister Denis Manturov said on Friday. The auto industry in Russia, a global oil and gas exporter, has no successful electric car projects at present, and analysts see slim prospects in the near future primarily due to poor charging infrastructure. There were 5,960 electric cars sold in Russia last year, including 687 new ones, and the entire fleet of electric cars in the country is just over 10,000, according to Autostat. It's an analytical agency. Zeta, a startup car maker based in Tolyatti, the home of Avtozaz. It's A-V-T-O-V-A-Z, but I kind of think it's probably kind of like auto. But anyway, Avtovaz, which produced the Soviet and Russian Lada, is designing a series of electric vehicles, including an urban car and a commercial cargo vehicle, the company website says. So, we'll see what happens. More electric cars seem to be going all the time, and the thing I like is the more electric cars out there, the more money goes into lithium-ion battery technology. And that's great because I want lithium-ion batteries to get cheaper because I want to go live off-grid and have a big solar array. And the backbone of that, if you want to be able to live off of that, is you need a decent battery pack. And so if they could make it cheaper or just make used electric car batteries easier to get, both of those would work for me. All right. Now, in France, this is one I thought was fun. Since it's Friday, this is kind of cool, or is at least interesting. French monks are stuck with 2.8 tons of cheese. Okay, so what's going on? It is a fromage disaster, or it could have been. A French monastery in the heart of Burgundy has launched an emergency online sale to get rid of thousands of its artisanal cheeses, which are languishing in its cellars as COVID-19 keeps buyers away. The Chateau Abbey, just south of Dijon, birthplace of the Cisteric Catholic Order, usually sells its raw milk, semi-soft discs only to restaurants or visitors to its on-site shop. But a drop in demand since the coronavirus crisis erupted last year has left the Abbey's 19 Trappist monks with 4,000 cheeses too many, a 2.8-ton problem. We tried explaining to our 75 cows that they need to produce less milk, but they don't seem to have understood, said Brother Jean-Claude, in charge of marketing at the monastery, which was founded in 1098. That's 1098. So, that's just wild to think that place has been around that long. Our sales are down nearly 50%, he said, with French restaurants still closed since October 30th, and authorities try to stifle a third wave of cases. We need to clear out our stock. The monk's cheese won the silver medal last year's International Food Festival, food and drink competition in Lyon, a bastion of France's culinary heritage. The monks have teamed with internet startup DivineBox, which sells products made by abbeys in France and elsewhere, with the goal of selling at least a ton of the cheese by Tuesday. The minimum order is 2 wheels at 23 euros, each, which is 20 pounds, plus shipping. According to the site, 700 kilograms has already been ordered. We're going to make it, Jean-Claude said. I thought that was a good little uplifting story. The monks made the monks have made enough cheese to survive. Now, this is a more tragic story. At least 32 people have been killed and more than 100 injured in a train crash in central Egypt. The country's railway authority says two carriages were derailed and overturned when two passenger trains collided in the province of Sohag. Emergency brakes were activated on the train in front by unknown individuals, causing the train behind it to crash into it, authorities said. Officials are investigating the crash. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi said there would be serious consequences for anyone found responsible. Anyone who caused this painful accident through negligence or corruption or anything similar must receive a deterrent punishment without exception or delay, he tweeted. Photos from the scene show carriages overturned near a channel of water. There are several photos available on the BBC News website for this, and they aren't necessarily graphic, but it is very interesting because the wreckage is just immense. So it's pretty interesting to see. Egypt has seen frequent accidents on its railway system, due in part to poor maintenance and lack of investment. One of the deadliest train disasters occurred in 2002, when 373 people died when a fire broke out in a carriage traveling south of Cairo. So best of luck. Heart goes out to the people in Egypt struggling with that. And if we look at Taiwan, Taiwan is reporting the largest ever incursion by Chinese Air Force. We mentioned in the past how China was kind of just letting its fishermen go into Taiwan's waters, and then when the Coast Guard would chase them away, they'd pull back. But by doing this, China was kind of testing and wearing down Taiwan's resources. Well, this is kind of a build onto that. This has come to us from Al Jazeera. 20 Chinese military aircraft entered Taiwan's air defense identification zone on Friday, the largest incursion reported by the island's defense ministry, and marking a dramatic escalation of tension across the Taiwan Strait. Taiwan's defense ministry said the Air Force deployed missiles to monitor the incursion into the southwestern part of its air defense identification zone. It also said its planes warned the Chinese aircraft, including by radio. It marked the largest incursion to date by the Chinese Air Force since Taiwan's defense ministry began disclosing almost daily Chinese military flights over the waters between the southern part of Taiwan and Taiwan-controlled Pratas Islands in the South China Sea last year. Oh yeah, we talked about that too. Some of the Chinese aircraft flew in the airspace to the south of Taiwan and passed through the Bashi Channel, which separates the island from the Philippines, Taiwan's defense ministry said in a statement. A person familiar with Taiwan's security planning told Reuters news agency the Chinese military was conducting exercises that would simulate an operation against U.S. warships that sail through the Bashi Channel. China, which claims Taiwan as its own territory, has stepped up military activities near the Democratic Island in recent months, a move Taiwan says jeopardizes regional stability. So, Taiwan's a very interesting place, and the politics there between China are very old, and So anyway, that's what's going on over there. In Myanmar, we've been talking about them for a while, and the junta is still going on, but or is still in control. The military is still in power, but this was a bit troubling or surprising to me. But it kind of sounds like what you'd expect an oppressive regime to say. Myanmar's ruling military junta warned on Friday that pro-democracy protesters risk being shot in the head or back as activists called for a huge show of defiance against the generals on the country's armed forces day on Saturday. Troops killed 4 more people in demonstrations on Friday, adding to a reported death toll of more than 320 people in the crackdown that has followed the coup against Aung San Suu Kyi's elected government on February 1st. A broadcast on the state MRTV news channel said, "You should learn from the tragedy of earlier ugly deaths that you can be in danger of getting shot in the head and back." So it wasn't like, "Hey, stay." It wasn't like, "Hey, we hear you protesting." It's like, "Hey, if you protest, we will shoot you." The warning did not specifically say that security forces had been given shoot-to-kill orders, and the junta has previously tried to suggest that some fatal shootings have come from within the crowds of protesters. But it indicated the military was determined to prevent any disruptions around Armed Forces Day. So, yeah, it's very tragic and very sad times there. the military was in control until 2011, and then they had 10 years of, I guess, of democracy, and now they're back under military rule. So it's kind of a question. I'm not sure if democracy is going to prevail there, or at least the dictatorship will get overthrown or not. It's a bit up in the air. So Ethiopia is in the news. Ethiopia says Eritrea has agreed to withdraw forces from the Tigray region. Eritrea has agreed to withdraw troops from Ethiopian territory along their common border. Ethiopia's prime minister said on Friday, days after acknowledging that Eritrean forces had entered Ethiopia's Tigray region during an almost five-month war. Eritrea has agreed to withdraw its forces out of the Ethiopian border, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed said in a statement on Twitter the day after arriving in Eritrea's capital, Asmara, to meet President Isaias Afwerki. The Ethiopian National Defense Force will take over guarding the border area effective immediately. Eritrea's Information Minister, Yaman Gebremichael, did not return calls and text messages seeking comment. Thousands of people have been killed in fighting between Ethiopian government troops and the Tigray region's former ruling party, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, since the beginning of November. So, what's going on in Ethiopia, which is an update. I'm trying to keep up with it because there's so much death and the violence and the sad. Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. In a like a scary way, how violent and anyway, it's just the inhumanity there. All the assault that happens is just insane. Okay, so what else is happening? Well, you know, lots of people are dying. That's kind of what makes sad news to me. Sad news to me sometimes. I want to mention that 4 people have been killed in Bangladesh as they clash with protesters. During a visit by Indian Prime Minister. So 4 people were killed after police fired on protesters who they said attacked a police station in the Bangladesh city of Chittagong on Friday during a demonstration against a visit to the country by Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Dozens were also hurt in the capital Dhaka, where police used rubber bullets and tear gas in clashes with violent protesters, witnesses said. In Chittagong, thousands of supporters of an Islamic group that accuses Modi of alienating minority Muslims in India streamed out of mosques after prayers to register their protest against his visit. We had to fire tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse them as they entered a police station and carried out extensive vandalism. He made no mention of police using live rounds. Another police official, Mohammed Aluddin, said a Chittagong hospital had received 8 people with gunshot wounds, adding among them 4 succumbed to their injuries. He identified the dead as 3 students and a tailor. This is what happens. Modi is by far not popular, is not very popular with a lot of people. His party is definitely on the fascist side of the scale. When you look at it, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to misspeak, but anyway, he's not a great guy. I am excited about their peace with around Kashmir and not fighting Pakistan, but it'd be nice if they had peace with all their neighbors. All right, well, let's keep going. Turkey's in the news. Women rise up over withdrawal from Istanbul Convention. It's been a tumultuous and anxious week for women in Turkey. When President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, I say his name wrong every time, I'm sorry, issued a decree at midnight last Friday annulling Turkey's ratification of the Istanbul Convention on Violence Against Women, women pour down to the streets of Turkish cities to protest. Further demonstrations are planned. The convention is a legally binding Council of Europe treaty covering domestic violence and seeking to end legal impunity for perpetrators. It covers 34 European countries and took effect in 2014. Among the protesters' slogans were Istanbul Convention Saves Lives and We Don't Accept One Man's Decision. Women's rights activists, lawyers, and opposition politicians have denounced Mr. Erdogan's decree, insisting he cannot legally take Turkey out of an international convention ratified by Parliament. Women are killed in Turkey every day, and critics argue that this move puts women in ever greater danger. According to Turkey's We Will Stop Femicide platform, at least 300 women were murdered in 2020, mostly by their partners, and 171 more women were found dead under suspicious circumstances. So, this is very troubling indeed. Violence against women.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay, okay. I hear it. The song today is a song from Elton John, because I think Elton John rules, and it's called Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. But I think we have just enough time for a quick story, so let me just tell you this. The U.S. is set to distribute 11 million Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 shots next week. So they're saying they're going to they have 11 million doses to hand out, and the U.S. is still on track to deliver on its goal of making shots available to all adults by the end of May. Vaccine manufacturers Pfizer and Moderna expect to hit their target of supplying 220 million shots between them in the first quarter of 2021, he added. Johnson & Johnson said last month it delivered 20 million doses of its single dose inoculation in March. However, shipments were delayed because key U.S. manufacturing partners didn't immediately receive U.S. regulatory clearance. Oh, all right, well, here we go. Enjoy the song. I'll be back with some more news in a little bit.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? I should have stayed on the phone. I should have listened to my own mind. Now you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up for you. I'm not a present for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be singing.
Yellow Brick Road and Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, and I like that song a lot. I wish I could sing it. It would be my karaoke song if I had the voice for it. All right, so let's run through. We've got not a lot of time, and well, I don't have a lot of time. The show we've got here, just about 10 minutes. I want to be sure and mention thank you to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, for hosting the show, letting us have the show. It's a good time. If you want to participate live, you can join Calm while the show's playing. There's lots of people there. We have a good time. The other thing I want to mention is I always like to try and be sure and remind you, every day at 1930 UTC, immediately after the show, is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And that show is super fun. I enjoy it very much, and it happens every single day. Even on the weekends, there's no news, or there's no news from news to me anyway, on the weekend, but you do get to hang out with Tobe, and it's a good time, so you should definitely check that out if you have the time and or the bandwidth. All right, so let's run through some headlines real quick. The U.S. has blocked Venezuela's bid to seek WTO review of sanctions. So WTO is World Trade Organization. And the U.S. on Friday blocked Venezuela from proceeding with its dispute over Washington's sanctions at the World Trade Organization, seizing on the issue to underscore its rejection of Nicolas Maduro as the country's legitimate president. Venezuelan had planned to request the formation of a WTO panel to rule on whether sanctions in the U.S. imposed in 2018 and 19 breached global trade rules. So U.S. flexing its muscles there. What else? We get that story. The boat, ship is still stuck in the Suez Canal, and the blockage of Egypt's Suez Canal by a giant container ship is causing a traffic jam in the Red Sea. Joe Reynolds, chief engineer of the Maersk, Ohio, told the BBC the number of vessels waiting at the canal's southern entrance was growing exponentially. It's going to affect shipping schedules around the world, he warned. Tugboats and dredgers are trying to dislodge the Ever Given, which is wedged diagonally across the waterway. The 400-meter-long, 200,000-ton vessel ran aground on Tuesday morning amid high winds and a sandstorm that affected visibility. Specialist salvage companies have been brought in to help refloat the ship, and an advisor to Egypt's president has said he hopes the situation will be resolved within 2 to 3 days, but experts have said it could take weeks if the vessel's containers need to be removed. About 12% of global trade passes through the 193-kilometer canal, which connects the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea and provides the shortest sea link between Asia and Europe. An alternative route around the Cape of Good Hope on the southern tip of Africa can take 2 weeks longer. So that kind of makes sense. And it's very interesting because the photos, you can see that the canal is not very wide. And my feeling, I'm just always like, why don't you just make it a little wider if it's that bad? Also, I've seen a lot of reports. Apparently, there's a lot of graft and corruption going on because to cross through the canal, you have to have one of the Egypt's people, like somebody from the authority there, to pilot or be on board the ship and pilot it through the canal. And you have to pay them or else they won't do their job properly. So it's kind of a... it's very interesting anyway. Well, shucks. I've got a meeting to run to, so I'm going to try my best to come back and run through the stories here. Okay, well, let's try and run some headlines, and I'll probably play a song because we have 2 minutes to go. Auto worker employee receives 91,500 pennies in final wages. An auto repair shop in Georgia, the state, has been accused of delivering a final wage package to a departing employee by dumping a pile of oil-covered pennies on his driveway. The pennies amounted to $915 that Andreas Flatten said he was owed by AOK Walker Auto Works. Mr. Flatten said he faces having to wipe down each coin individually to get rid of the grease the pile was covered in. AOK Auto Works has not commented publicly on the incident. So, man, we need 409 stat, because that is a greasy mess. All right, and what else? Georgia's Republican legislature passed sweeping voting restrictions. They basically reinstated the voting board that famously disenfranchised millions of black voters and other people in the past. So Georgia's basically saying, hey, the South's not dead, and racists are still in power. Don't worry about it. So it's pretty shitty there. And what else? The USC, University of Southern California, I believe. Yeah, Southern California, has agreed to pay more than $1 billion to patients treated by a former campus gynecologist accused of sexual abuse. It's the biggest sex abuse-linked payout in a higher education's history. George Tyndall was arrested in 2019 and charged with sexually assaulting 16 female patients, allegations he denies. All right. Well, that's sad, and ultimately, that's all the story. That's all the news I have time for. I've got to really get this uploaded. I don't know if it'll make it in time. So, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon. Sorry it's a little short today. Thank you.
that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is March 26th, 2021, and it's a Friday. Aw, yeah, I got a weekend coming up, and should be lots of fun. I get to, I had an interesting event. When I went to get my vaccine on Tuesday, I thought my chain was slapping. And so I went out yesterday to go ahead and tighten it up because I usually slack on my chain maintenance. And, well, I tightened up that chain and wouldn't you know, the chain was actually pretty tight. And so I need to go loosen it today. But when I went to get up, my rear rack was loose. Someone had tried to take the bolts off of it and walk off with it, but I guess they didn't have enough power. Court is this imbalance of very religious people on the court. And so the U.S. Supreme Court late on Wednesday sided with Christian and Jewish houses of worship in their challenge of New York State coronavirus restrictions that limited gatherings in religious institutions. The court has a 6-3 conservative majority, voted 5-4 in favor of requests by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn and two Orthodox Jewish congregations for an injunction to block the restrictions being enforced. So, Donald Trump, of course, is very happy about this and gloating, although he's on his way out. That's not really news. Denver mayor apologizes after flying for Thanksgiving against his own advice, and something that, oh, congratulations, Tobe, tomorrow is the 1,900th episode of DGC. We've only got a couple of seconds to go, but I did want to just mention, Denver mayor apologizes after flying for Thanksgiving against his own advice, and basically, any world leader, anybody in power, they're all saying stay home, but then they go and do the opposite, because fuck those guys,
well,
they're a bunch of fucking dirty politicians.
Our time's come to an end.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.